To John 14, 16 and 18. And in my Bible it says the promise of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're promised. We're not promised riches here on earth.
Yeah.
We're not promised good health. Because it's all going to fail anyhow.
Right.
No matter what, it ain't going to last. You know, through our life, whatever we got, we're going to lose it one way or the other. We were standing outside talking a minute ago. Brother Dick said, boy, you was talking about running track. I said, well, Dick, I wasn't always old and fat. Life changes us. All right? I mean, it changed us all. I didn't have no wrinkles. If we stay around here long enough, we're going to change.
Yeah.
Now, how we change is up to us. What we do with this change, if we want to change our life, change the direction we're taking our life, change the direction that we're going to lead our families to, or in, you know, as a father, as a grandfather, what are we going to? We're going to leave this promise out in the way that God wants us to. Start reading in 16. And I will pray the Father that He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Listen to that. If you ain't a child of God, you ain't going to get this Spirit. That's what separates us. So I've had people say, how can you stay so calm? It's because we've got the Holy Spirit with us. I've noticed, springtime. My other grandson, Kai, said he got where he had to have his appendix taken out. And Nicole she's pretty calm, but when it comes to her kids, she gets real nervous. And we stayed in the hospital. I could see the change in her. She was trusting God more as the kids were getting older. She wasn't nervous. I'm sure she was nervous inside, but I could see a calmness, a peace around her while she was going through that it was going to be all right one way or the other. And that's that Holy Spirit. There's no reason to go through this life by yourself. People say, well, I'm tough. I can take it. Guess what? That's foolishness to speak that way. And I'm not calling nobody a fool, but that's foolish. When someone's offering you a hand out to help you, and you're saying, no, I don't want that. There's no sense in that. We all need help at one time or the other. Speaking back up, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. This is, as Christ is getting ready to leave, He's telling us He's going to send somebody to us. He made a promise that He's going to send. He's going to send help. I'll take it that way. That's Wayne County. I'm going to send help to you. You ain't going to have to go through this by yourself. Just be patient with me. It's coming. Let's turn over to John. No, let's go to Genesis. Let's go back to the front of the book. Genesis 17, going to be 16 through 19. Genesis 17, 16 through 19. Sometimes, and this is what this is about, sometimes God tells us things that we think there ain't no way that's going to happen. Well, guess what? If He says it, it's a promise. It's in this book. I guarantee you, if people would see me in high school, they say, there ain't no way that's going to happen. I said that when He called me. I said, you've got the wrong guy here. And I thought, boy, I'll talk him out of it. And some of you heard me say before. I said, Lord, you know how dumb I am. I'm as dumb as a hoe handle. You can't use me. And as soon as I laid down, He said, I can use a hoe handle if it's willing to work. Amen. You know, you can grab a hold of a metal part of a hoe, and it ain't no good without a handle.
Yeah,
it's awful hard. You have to get right down in the dirt. And if you're without God, you're down there, you're trying to scratch it through this life without a handle. It's much easier if you've got that handle on the end of that hoe to row that corn. Ain't it, Jerry? It's a whole lot easier. Genesis 17, 16 through 19. This here is Abraham, God speaking to Abraham about having a son. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. King of people shall be of her. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said unto his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, which is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, O thou Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and they shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and that his seed after him. How would you like to be told you're going to, at 90 years old or 100 years old, you're going to father a child? I sure wouldn't. And it would be hard to understand that. And your wife 90. But I tell you what, if God tells it, believe it. Yeah. If, no matter what, take his word for it. He ain't speaking idle. I can remember when there were 6 of us kids growing up. And most time our parents give us leeway. One of us would, we'd start something in the car. We'd start poking, not making fun of you, but your kids, they poking fun. Brody and Marty do the same thing. Well, guess what? They only take a little bit of it so much. And you get 6 of us going, it'd get pretty rowdy. But if my parents told me something, they said, you're whipped when you get home. Guess what? I was whipped when I got home. I knew. They taught me early, if I told you something, bank on it. Believe it. And that's what God's telling Abraham and Sarah right here. If I told you, it's going to happen. Just go ahead, write it down. I don't care how good we were on the way home. Once they said you're whipped, from the time we get, you know, and we get real good, be not, we wouldn't say a word all the way the rest of the house. And I'm sure as a parent you thought, man, why didn't they do that before when I told them to quit? But as a child, sometimes as we, God tells us something, listen to him. Because when we got home, and it didn't matter if we was already had been good this whole time coming home, we knew it was coming. And God's telling us the same thing. If he's trying to correct you from doing something in your life that you shouldn't be doing, listen to him. He's not just blowing in the wind. There's a reason for it. The reason my parents gave me a whipping when I got to the house so they'd have to put up with it again. I learned my lesson. Sometimes we have to learn our lessons through this life to listen, pay attention. When God's talking to you, you know, in the middle of the night or something, right before you go to bed, or most of the time I get, my best time is when I'm driving truck. I'm going up a road and I really enjoy it. I'll turn on the boys, listening to them as they go up a road, your CDs. And I even sound pretty good with you guys. And that's bad. But I turn the radio way up, all right? I turn it way up. But I get a blessing out of doing that right there. Saying, Lord, what do you want me to preach on next time? And I appreciate that. But how would you like to be 90 years old and God comes to you and tells you you're going to have a son? It's going to be a nation. It's going to raise up a nation. And they both laughed. If you read in here, they both laughed at the idea of it. I wish I had more words to try to explain. If God tells you something, believe it. There's a reason for it. If he makes you a promise, it's going to happen. In Genesis 6, I'm not going to read it, but in Genesis 6, Noah. Everybody knows the story about Noah. Guess what? He was told to build an ark. Sometimes God tells us to do things that we don't understand. A lot of times we don't understand. A lot of times I don't understand what he's trying to tell me or which way he's trying to lead me. But the best thing for me to do, and I'm going to say the best thing for all of us to do, is to follow what he tells us to do. Amen. Obey. He's made a promise to be with us. He's done sent us a comforter if we'll just trust him. A lot of times if we just trust God, things are going to come out the way that he wants them to. Where I mess them up is where I try to interject my idea. Oh, I need to take it this way. No, I need to stay out of it and let God handle it. Do it his way. He's done made a promise to take care of me, and that's what we need to do. How would you like to preach for 100 years, over 100 years, that there was a flood coming that had never come to the earth before, and try to convince somebody that it was going to happen. It's the same thing as trying to tell people that God's coming back today. I ain't saying it's the exact same thing. People's been saying, I've heard that stuff my whole life, and it ain't happened yet. That don't mean it ain't going to. I can promise you it's going to happen. And we need to express that to the world out here today. We need to tell them it's going to happen whether you want it to. Just because we turn our back to it or the world turns their back to it, it's still going to happen. Whether we pay attention to God's word, we do what He asks us to, it's up to us whether we obey Him, whether we believe what He promises to us. It's going to happen. But could you imagine preaching for over 100 years to people and not a soul move? It would have to be discouraging. At times it would have to be, Lord, am I doing the right thing? But He was made a promise. God's word gave Him a promise that to build this boat, build a ship, that He was going to flood the world with water. And guess what? It happened. Every time you read something in this book, it happens. It's coming true. Just go ahead and bank on it and be with it. We're going to do some flipping tonight. Let's go to John 7:37. Remember, promises of God. Going back to Brody, we all told him we was going to take him. That was a promise we made, that we was going to get him to that train show. God's promises are a whole lot more dependable. Something could have happened that we could have maybe not could have got him there. And he would have been, if you tell a kid something at 7 years old, they expect you to keep it. Well, guess what? When we read God's word and His promises, we're sure that it's going to happen. All the thing is, we got to believe in it. He had to believe that we was going to take him to that train show. He started counting down the days. How many days, Mom? 2 days. He even told Garrett Friday night before, he said, he come in like at 6, 7 o'clock, said, Dad, I'm ready to go to bed. He said, Son, what's wrong with you? He said, it's still daylight out. He said, because I know when I wake up in the morning, we're going to the train show. Guess what? The way this world's going, we had better wake up, be ready for the next morning when it comes, because it may be our last morning. We may not have another morning to come to God and do what He wants. The last of August was I turned 53. And in my truck, I got a calendar to keep things up. Don't even. You may not make it there. And I'm kidding, brother. But my birthday was at the end of the month on the 31st. And for some reason, as I pulled that August off the calendar, I thought, will I get to do that again next year? There was no promise of tomorrow. There's no promise that I'm going to make it next year to pull that calendar off there for another year of life. We're promised salvation if we'll accept it. Amen. And that's all, you know, we're promised where we're going to. We're promised a comforter. We're not promised tomorrow that I can find in this book. Has anybody else found it in there? The thing is, I need to be ready for next year in case I don't get to pull that calendar off of there. I want to be ready in case it doesn't happen. And that's what we're striving to do. John 7:37. This is Jesus here. In the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me, unto me, and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But then spake he unto the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus had not been glorified. Go back up to 38. He that believeth on me, he shall have river of living water. You know what I heard, and it's true. A dead fish can go downstream with the world. It takes somebody alive, something in you, to fight against the current. And as a Christian, a lot of times we're fighting against the current. But guess what? They're all going to be dead down the river. You can float easy. It takes a little bit of exercise. It takes a little bit of want to. It's a job to flow against the current. The only thing is, you don't have to. I've heard people, there was a guy at work. He said, I don't want to do that if I can't do it wholehearted. I said, I tell you what, why don't you just go ahead and jump in and he'll help you. You don't have to do, you know, I've heard people say, I don't believe I can do it and I don't want to jump in if I can't do it. Well, guess what? Go ahead and jump in and you won't have to do it by yourself because you can't do it by yourself. That's the whole point. Call on Jesus. Ask him to help you. That's what he's there for. Jeremy, you don't plan on your kids driving your car all by yourself, do you?
Not anytime
soon. Okay. The thing is, why should we think we're going to be able to jump in this Christian life without somebody to help us? We need to depend. When your time comes, your kids are going to depend on you to help show them how to do it. Guess what? God will help us. The Holy Spirit will help us do the same thing as we go through this life, through this Christian life. We may not start out knowing everything. You ain't going to. I'll never know everything in here, but he'll show me what I need to know to get through it. And he's made a promise to be with us, to send a comforter. And that's all we got to do is to trust him. Brody didn't know how we was going to get over to that train show. It was over in Madison. And we took Marley with us. And I mean, we just got the Lavalette. She said, how much farther, Papa? You know, they had faith we was going to get them there. They didn't know how long it was going to take. And I said, it's going to take a long time, honey. We don't know how long it's going to take us to get through this life. We don't know how long God's going to tarry to come back for us. The thing is, we need to be headed in the direction that he wants us to go. We need to go down, like we was going down 64 and down 119. We need to head where we want to, in the direction that we need to go to get to where to get to heaven, to be doing God's will. Let's jump over to Revelations 21:21-4. This is John the Revelator, not John the Baptist now. And I mention that so I can keep it straight with myself because I get mixed up sometimes. This is what all Christians are looking for. Revelation 21:4-7. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither there shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Here's another promise right there. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him an artist of the fountain of water of life freely. As Christians, that's what we're going for right there. No more pain, no more lost loved ones leaving us, departing us. No more death, no more crying, no more sorrow. That's what we want. That's what we strive for. We don't want to see any of our family members hurt. We don't want to see them in pain. It's part of it. But if we got God, we got the Comforter with us. We can make it through it. We need to. That's a promise. We need to hold on to that promise. Just like I keep going back to it, but it's a good, for me, it's a good illustration. Brody, we promised him we was going to take him. And he held us to that. We need to do the same thing as a 7-year-old. When I tell you, when God tells us he's going to do something, hold on to it. Because it's going to happen. I guarantee you, it's a lot better. It's going to happen with God. Sometimes I can't do things that I ask my kids, tell them I'm going to do. The thing is, though, when God tells us it's going to happen every time, go ahead and bank on it. This ought to be something we can look forward to. The world may not look forward to it. But we ought to be able to look forward to no more pain, no more sickness, no more heartache. We got to rejoice in that. I know it's a sad time when you lose a loved one, but if they're where they should be, it's a happy time. It should be a happy time. I mean, that's what I'm striving for. If I go to that world tomorrow, don't cry for me. Be happy that I've made what I'm striving for. Be happy that I've reached my goal. I don't want to go, but if God tells me to go, guess what? I'm going. Amen. He's promised me once to die. The only thing is, I don't know when, but be ready when He does call. Let's go. Did I tell you Revelation 21? I've lost my spot. I got hit in my notes here. All right, the New Jerusalem, starting in number 9. You can read through here. I mean, it goes the whole way. All right. Starting at number 11, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear and crystal. And there was a great wall and high, and it was 12 gates, and the gates were 12 angels, and their names were written thereon in it, which were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And as you can read through here, it's talking about jasper, the pure gold, the gates of pearl. It's all what that's the goal we're reaching for. It's a promise of what's going to be there if we'll to. It's a promise. I'm having trouble trying to express what I want to say. It is something, if God promises it to us, bank on it. It's coming. We need to depend on that. Even when tough times come, people start giving you a hard time, guess what? I know what's at the end of the book. It's right there. Only thing is, we got to do is hold on to it. Just like Brody holding on to that promise that we're going to go to the train show. And we had a good time, but guess what? It'll be a lot better time when we hold on to God's promise of jasper walls, fire. We're going to get to see all that. I can't understand looking at gold through clear gold. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's going to be something else shouting about. That's going to be something to be happy about. Amen. And I guess the reason He'll tell us about it, but He said it beyond our understanding. And I believe it, because there ain't no way I can understand what it's going to look like. Revelation 20, 12 and 15. If you're not saved, if you're here and you don't have the Comforter, if you've not given your life to God, there's another promise. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the book was open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Number 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. This is another promise that it's hard to preach on. But guess what? It's still the truth. It's still a promise. What's going to happen if we don't obey what God has called us? When you feel that tug, like Jeremy said, when you can see someone's knuckles turning white on top of it, I felt like sometimes putting a row of spikes across the back of his pew so somebody don't grab a hold of it and hold on. And I was one of them at one time. Here's a promise of a lake of fire that we've got. It's a promise. It's the same thing. Only thing is, there's a way out of this. Yeah. If we just believe, if we just put our trust, that measure of faith that we all have, it's been a promise that we've got the measure of faith as a mustard seed if we'll take it in it. Let's go one more place. Romans 10. I don't want to leave you with lake of fire. Let me show you a way to avoid this. There's a way out of it. There's another promise that if we'll pay attention, if we'll listen, we'll do what He wants us to, we'll believe in His promise. we can all avoid this. A couple weeks ago, I was over seeing Brother Danny. We was loading up some old block that I needed. We started talking about, why did you get saved? And we was in the same boat, but we was looking at it different ways. I said, well, for me, it was to avoid hell. I didn't want to die and go to hell. And he said, I won't argue with that. He said, but I think it's love. And I couldn't argue with that. And as I thought about it, a lot of times I go down the road, if you see me doing this when I'm going down the road driving that truck or I'm a singing, I still know what I'm doing. I've done it long enough. I can, Brother Terry, he can tell you, you get your mind on other things. And I started thinking about that as we go down the road. And I thought, for me, I didn't want the wrath of God on me. It's the reason I got saved. But after I give my life to Christ, it's turned into love. I want to do what He asked me to do. I want to be obedient. Just like a child. Sometimes they don't want you to do, they don't want to do what you want them to do. But the reason you're doing it is for their benefit. Amen. Guess what? God's made a promise to be with me no matter what I do. If I stay in His will, if I listen to Him, and if I do that, I'll please Him. And that's what I want to do, is please God. Be obedient to Him. He's made a promise to be with me. He's given His life for me. He's come to this world, took a beating that no man should ever have to take for things that He didn't do. Amen. He paid that sin debt that I could not pay, that I couldn't get out of without Him. It's a way for me to say thank you. It's the least I can do is to live the rest of my life for Him, to do His will. Right away to avoid the lake of fire. Chapter 10, verse 9. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm not educated, but guess what? It don't take much education. We make this sometimes so difficult, and it's not. Amen. All you got to do is say, I give up. When I got saved, I was sick and tired of what my wife, every time we was going one way, I was going the other. Guess what? I told the preacher, I said, I'm tired of her being right about everything. And that's what it come down to. Guess what? We need to do the same thing. If we'll quit fighting, don't quit kicking against the pricks. Amen. Go ahead and give in. It's a lot better life. There's a future to it. Going to hell is not a future. It's not one that I desire, not one that I want. I'd rather have somebody sit there and make fun of me on this life, because guess what? It's just like a vapor. It ain't going to last forever. Go ahead and make fun of me for being a Christian. I'll put up with that. My Heavenly Father, my Savior, put up with a whole lot more than that for me. Because we won't be here that long. Let's read that one more time in number 9. In case you didn't catch it the first time. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How much simpler can it get than that right there? This is something we can take to our co-workers. This is something we can take out into the world and tell them. It's a simple life. Don't make it harder than what it is. All you got to do is accept it. It's a free gift. If I laid $100 up here right now, I guarantee you there'd be people wanting to come get it. I'm off this book. God has already paid your sin debt. All you got to do is come up here and accept it. Let's use our God-given brain a little bit. Let's accept what He's offering. What He's promised us. The promises that He has given us. It's going to come through. And all we need to do is accept it, do His will, believe in His promises that He has given us, and do what He wants.